9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, June 9th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The clock is ticking for millions of renters who are still unable to make their monthly payments. The federal eviction moratorium is set to expire at the end of the month, but billions of dollars in government relief funds for renters are still working their way to bank accounts.
Tenants looking at that deadline, who now have many months of unpaid rent, you know, the delay in funding getting to them has serious consequences for, you know, what happens after that June 30th deadline.
Coming up, our housing reporter Will Parker will tell us what's slowing the flow of money to renters and what's being done about it. That's after the break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Last year, the federal government put in place a couple of big programs to help renters who were hit financially during the pandemic stay in their homes. One was a moratorium on evictions. Another offered rental assistance payments to tenants and landlords. Well, the eviction moratorium is set to expire 3 weeks from today, and the relief funds still haven't reached many people who are eligible for them. Housing reporter Will Parker has been tracking this for us, and he's here with an update. Will, thanks for taking the time to chat.
Thanks for having me.
So, Will, this is a complicated issue with a lot of players, so I want to ask you about what's being done on a couple of fronts. This federal funding for renters, it's actually dispersed by state and local governments, and back in April, they were overwhelmed with having to allocate so much money at once. Any progress there?
There is progress there. The states and cities have started to get some of the money out for the most part. It took them a long time to get going, but now they're starting to put more out there. It's just there are still a lot of barriers that are making things slower than I think most people had hoped.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those barriers. It seems like there are some kinks in the pipeline, starting with the applications that begin the whole process. Can you explain that?
Yeah, a big part of this is, you know, what these agencies that are administering the aid require tenants and landlords to show them so that they can approve that, you know, you have an emergency situation where a tenant is at risk of eviction and they have a financial difficulty that makes them, eligible for this money. But, you know, the more documents you require, the more processing that takes and the more likely that certain tenants or landlords may not be able to provide it. And that seems to be one of the biggest problems, that tenants simply are not able to complete their applications because of some of these document requirements.
Have there been any efforts to simplify that process?
So this has been a major point of emphasis for the U.S. Treasury Department, which is overseeing the administration of the aid. Now, the local agencies have a lot of leeway in deciding how exactly people qualify and how people apply for it, but the Treasury has put out guidance, and a big part of what they're asking local agencies to do is to loosen some of those documentation requirements. The other thing that they've done is they're really encouraging local governments to give money directly to tenants. That has not been the case for most of this program. The priority has been to put the money in the hands of landlords because the debt is owed to them, and that's the most efficient method. But oftentimes, landlords are either slow to participate or don't want to participate. So there's been an emphasis to try to encourage more money to go directly to the tenants.
So $47 billion has been allocated by the government to stave off evictions. How much of that money has actually gotten into the hands of tenants and landlords?
So across two emergency rental assistance programs that were created by Congress, we have about $47 billion. And about half of that comes from January and about half of it comes from March. My understanding is that, you know, most programs are still working through spending the first half that they received back in January. And the Treasury Department is yet to actually say how much of that total has found its way to tenants and landlords. And whatever that number is, it's going to have serious implications for something like the eviction moratorium. the CDC, which put the moratorium in place, they're doing it on the basis of a public health crisis. So they're not making this decision thinking about rental debt and housing instability. They're looking at it purely in terms of this is a pandemic and we think eviction activity can contribute to disease spread. But the Biden administration, has to be thinking about the rental assistance aspect of this too, and whether or not it makes sense to let the ban expire before the majority of this rental aid can get to tenants and prevent evictions from happening.
Yeah, and the June 30th eviction moratorium deadline is just a few weeks away.
Now, it's been renewed several times before. That could very well happen again, although it's not clear. So for tenants looking at that deadline who now have many months of unpaid rent, the delay in funding getting to them has serious consequences for, what happens after that June 30th deadline.
And what's the situation like for these tenants? What are you hearing from them?
A lot of tenants have difficulties navigating the ins and outs of these rental assistance programs and how to qualify. And, there are a lot of legal aid attorneys that are helping them do it. But sometimes tenants on their own are not always able to figure out how to put those applications in and make sure they have all the right documents. So there's a lot of frustration there. But there are also a lot of people that have received the money, that have been helped by it, and that have, had their rental debts that they've accumulated during the pandemic reduced to zero and are now on a better footing, perhaps have found employment again, and it's working for them.
So, Will, you mentioned before that some landlords were reluctant to accept relief funds because those funds came with strings attached. Is that still going on?
That is still going on. A lot of the programs that are administering these funds, what they want to see is that, if they're giving this aid to landlords, they want something in return. They want to make sure that people are not being evicted and that this money is going to stop this problem that they're worried about, which is an increase in evictions. I talked to the president of Jefferson Parish in Louisiana, which is near New Orleans, and one of the delays in getting the aid out was a debate with the landlords over, how much time they would wait before they could start evictions again if they accepted rental assistance. So, getting everyone on the same page and agreeing to the terms of how these programs will work continues to be a barrier as well.
Now, you also said that the Treasury's been trying to get the money into the hands of tenants directly and in an efficient fashion. How's that been going?
So they can put out guidance, which is, it's not legally binding. It's what they recommend that these state and metropolitan agencies do in order to streamline their process. There are some programs that have made changes based on the Treasury's recommendation. The National Low Income Housing Coalition, which is a Washington-based kind of tenant advocacy group, has been tracking, that there are dozens that have, started paying money to tenants directly. There are dozens of programs that have, loosen the document requirements, not required you to, have some sort of documentation for, cash income, which can be difficult, or have a lease if you've been living month to month, for example. But many, many programs are not doing these things, are not making these changes. And a big reason is that there's a certain fear of fraud that programs want to avoid. They don't want to be sending out money in error to those individuals who may not actually be the ones who need it.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Will Parker. Will, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.